Hello and welcome back to the Lutheran Witness Podcast. I'm your host, Roy Askins. Here on the Lutheran Witness Podcast, we bring to you all sorts of great content, but we have something extra special today. We are coming to you from Berlin, Germany, where we are recording podcasts with some of our fellow members in Christ here in Germany. Before we get there, however, I want to give a quick shout out to our podcast partners, KFUO.org, Christ for You, anytime, anywhere, KFUO.org. You can listen to them streaming online or in the St. Louis metro area over their AM station, KFUO.org. So as I mentioned, we are here in Berlin doing a whole series of podcasts. You're probably going to hear a number of these coming out here pretty soon. But we had the great opportunity to sit down with an LCMS member who's living here in Germany. So Sandra Pruitt, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Give us a little bit of your story. You said you actually were born here in Germany and then somehow ended up back in the U.S. and now yes, you're back here again. So kind of give us the story of your life here.
Exactly. I was born and raised in Berlin, usually member of the state church, the EKD. And I moved to the United States for an exchange year. And then later on, I married and moved to Mississippi. And my husband and I were members of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Flowood, Brandon, Mississippi, for 16 years or so, thereabouts. And then we decided that we needed a change of scenery, and we moved back to Berlin. And,
that's quite a change of scenery. I mean, that's like moving. I mean, most people, when they look for a change of scenery, they go from like the South U.S. to the Northern U.S. How did you choose Germany as kind of the change of scenery here?
Well, since I was born and raised here and my husband had visited, we kind of decided on Berlin because it was my home turf. But for him, it was completely new. And for me, it had changed, you know, with the wall coming down, East and West becoming one and all that good stuff.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, the whole melding back together of the two countries kind of happened while I was away. So
that would be interesting. So tell me, I mean, this is, I'm a history buff, so you're going to have to like indulge me here for a minute. What did you notice? So between the time when you were here and then coming back, what were kind of the big changes that you saw as this melding together? Like what were the changes that you saw here in Berlin?
For one, it was that they redid a whole lot of the buildings and that the whole appearance of the city kind of became similar. Like the eastern part started looking like the western part a lot as far as the displays and the stores and the clothing and the outside of buildings and different things. And the buses ended up looking the same. Just crazy stuff like that.
And then did you notice anything, any difference in the way the people interacted with one another? I mean, obviously there's going to be some differences when you have, you know, a wall kind of separating the city. Right. But, you know, what did you notice, you know, different in terms of the way people lived and interacted with each other?
Well, at first it was like complete strangers. And then after 10, 15 years or so, you've noticed that they were, you know, you couldn't tell the difference necessarily. Everybody behaved the same with each other. Was my perception most of the time.
Gotcha. So did your husband know German? Obviously, you grew up speaking German. Did your husband have to learn German when he moved over here?
Yeah, actually, he had learned a little bit previously, and then he was required, just like our asylum seekers here are at the church, are required of sorts to learn the language, reach a certain proficiency level to go to work. And, you know, my husband received a work visa without any problems, but he had to get a certain proficiency level and he had to do a cultural introduction class of some sort.
Okay.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting that he had introduced to the culture and learn about the culture, even though he had, you know, partially been living it with me in one household, so that was weird to us, but that's what the state wanted. So.
Well, you brought up the asylum program. That's really why we're here, why Eric Lunsford and I are here, to learn about this asylum program. How long have you been here at this church here, Trinity in Steglitz?
Ever since it started in 2015.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about this asylum ministry. I mean, are you pretty involved in the asylum ministry here?
Well, mainly just as a friend to people that are living here during their asylum stay or that remain part of the congregation. You know, of course, you make contact and you gain friends and are interested in the culture and interact on a weekly basis. And then I work in the children's ministry. So that means taking a Farsi translator downstairs with you if you're not proficient in the language, and involves learning the children and what their backgrounds are and their behaviors are and how they're different from our kids around here, maybe. And then, of course, I'm a member of the, like, I guess it would be elders in the LCMS, but it's like Kirchenvorstand, so like the governing body of this church here, of the congregation. So I'm part of that.
So maybe like the council, maybe?
Yeah, church council. That's yeah, it church right council. There. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And so you're a member of the church council. You help direct the church. And, okay. So. Tell me a little bit about the asylum ministry itself. So assume no, you know, people you're talking to have no knowledge of this. They don't have a clue what any of this means. Give us a quick overview of what the asylum program here is at Trinity. It's quite unique from what I understand. Right. Yeah.
The way I understand it and view it, I don't have near the understanding that Pastor Martin's has.
Yeah, obviously. We're going to have him on too. So don't worry. They'll get a whole lot of that too.
As far as I understand it, there's a lot of people that come here with a Dublin situation is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And so that technically means Germany wouldn't be in charge of their asylum process or the courts and all that. And so they're supposed to be sent back to whatever the European country they came to first would be, which some of those countries mistreat the asylum seekers or and disrespect their human rights. And so what the church asylum program does is it takes these people in, and out of respect for the church body, the police will not enter the building and remove those people to fly them or
return
them, or whatever,
yeah.
Return them to the country they came from. So
yeah, so they, I think some of the gentlemen downstairs were describing this Dublin process.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, so they were saying Dublin, is it doubling, like with an ING? Like I couldn't quite get exactly.
No, it's like the city Dublin.
It's like the city Dublin, okay. Mm-hmm. So I was totally mishearing that. Okay, so Dublin, and what this means is, if they apply for asylum in one country, they can't apply in the European Union. You can't apply for asylum in a second country for a certain period of time, and then if they stay in this area for a certain period of time in Germany for, I think it's like 6 months, then they can apply for asylum.
Right. Then the process starts over.
Correct.
So they can do it here.
Correct. Yeah. And I've heard. I mean, some of these stories are quite horrific. I mean, in terms of. These men have lived in these countries for, you know, years, 18 years, 10 years, you know, and they have families and friends, and they're paying taxes. They've, you know, acclimated to the culture. They've learned the language. And these countries are deciding, nope, we don't need these immigrants anymore, and basically kicking them out.
Right, which in essence, you know, Germany does that on occasion as well. You know, they grant Duldung and work permit and everything to a certain person, and then they establish, you know, a rental contract. They acquire work, they pay taxes, and then after 3 or 6 years, Germany decides, oh, well, no.
Yeah.
We changed our mind.
Yeah, send it back. No. And for some of these guys, so you know, some of these countries want to send them back to their home countries, right? The problems here are numerous, from what I understand. Some of it is simply that they haven't lived there in 10, 20 years. They don't have the family connections there. Yeah. What are some of the other concerns that they have, you know, in terms of being sent back to, say, Afghanistan or Iran?
Well, obviously, the main concern for our members here is that these people are converts from Islam, and that's very haram. And so in places like Afghanistan and Iran, it can very well happen to you that if you used to be a Muslim and you convert to Christianity and that's publicly known, when you step off that airplane, you will be imprisoned and you will be executed for that conversion. And so that's just a threat to life,
right?
Basically.
Right, it's a threat to life. And so then when they apply for asylum, the governments here in the European Union are saying, well, we don't really believe you're Christian, or what's kind of that's what they're saying.
Usually they have these little text blocks that they use in those letters, and sometimes it makes no sense at all. Like Pastor Martins will write a long statement about their participation in church activities and their positions that they hold, maybe their communion assistants or work in the child ministry, work in the music ministry, this, that, and the other. They come to church 3 times a week. And then in that letter it says, based on the client's behavior in general living, it can't be that they're Christian. Or because the story of their conversion is such and such, it can't possibly be true. Because a lot of these people, they have it in their culture that they will say things came to them in their dreams, kind of like in biblical times, God showed me the way in my dream, and then I converted and I saw the light, so to speak. And a court system will not buy that.
The one, yeah. So. We just interviewed Sebastian, and he talked about, you know, these visions where he was seeing Jesus and as a young child for many years, and he had no connection, you know, no previous history. This is totally new to him, and how it kind of directed him to the church over time. And we spoke about it with Pastor Martins too. He said the dreams are just a very frequent, common occurrence among the Iranian and Afghanistan population. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So in their culture, in their perception, in their beliefs, it's very common and very plausible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess just because the system or the people here don't have that in their own experience, they just immediately conclude it's not realistic. It couldn't be.
Yeah. And they just discount it. Yeah.
Right.
Completely discount it. How is the process going in terms of helping these men gain asylum here in Germany? And in other words, are you able over time? I know Pastor Martin said sometimes it takes a couple of years, but are they gaining asylum, or are they being sent back generally to Afghanistan?
Generally, currently, from my perception, once again, Pastor Martin knows way more details, and he has a you know, a perspective of view on every single person. He's baptized everybody that's come through this door. He knows them by first name. So
it's pretty incredible. Like, I've watched him, and he's like, he knows everybody.
I know.
There's like tons of people here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, 90% of the people I don't even know by name.
He's
like, oh, the guy with that hair and the guy with that shirt, but I don't know who they are. So he would be the one to, you know, ask about percentages and so forth. But it seems to me that most people that come through here, through our asylum program, or that, you know, find safety here whilst they wait for their court process and have assistance through Pastor Martins, a lot of those cases are successful, which, like I said before, that could also be temporary, because it might be reviewed in 3 to 6 years and somebody will tell them, no, well, whoever decided this the first place was wrong, we'll send you back. So there's no guarantee there. I know quite a few people that have had successful cases, and they're still here. They're working. They have their own apartments. Some brought their family. And so there's a lot of success stories, I suppose. But it just takes a very, very long time, and they suffer psychologically, emotionally, spiritually.
I mean, Pastor Martins is also talking about how some of these men are actually separated from their wives and family who might be in the other country. Like, in other words, some of these countries are just sending the men out and the, allowing the wives and children to stay, and or maybe they're fleeing Iran or Afghanistan, and their family isn't able to come with them, or whatever it might be. And I just can't imagine this kind of separation.
Right. Well, the process of leaving Iran or Afghanistan is dangerous and strenuous. So a lot of these men, especially in the very beginning, they didn't want to risk bringing the family into that uncertainty. So they left by themselves with the intention of bringing the people.
Later, bringing the family,
sometimes that works out, which, you know, we have examples of that.
Sometimes it doesn't. Yeah.
Near and dear friends of mine as well that, you know, who waited and waited and brought his family here. So
praise the Lord.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Very big blessing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's been a great pleasure to see the wonderful work our Lord is doing here in Trinity. And I'm glad to hear that you're involved and able to participate in this. Anything else that you'd like to say that I didn't think to ask that would be helpful for our folks back home to see and to hear about?
Oh, well, that everybody's welcome here, especially friends from the LCMS, and we're always glad to see anybody that wants to come and visit and experience it on their own. We're glad to have them, and I'm certainly always glad to see people stateside.
So basically, if you're visiting Berlin, if you're coming to Germany, you're visiting Berlin, look up at Trinity Lutheran Church in Steglitz, right?
Right.
Did I get all that right?
Yes, sir.
And you can find the website. There's a website out there, too. We'll include it in the show notes. We'll make sure we do that. There's a whole lot of wonderful people here. They will welcome you.
Amen.
You'll get to see the service in German and Farsi, which is absolutely wonderful as well.
There's always children's church in German during the Farsi service, which I find that kind of interesting, too. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was, I mean, I have to say, it was a real pleasure to see the way the German people and the Farsi people are interacting together and helping and supporting one another. Let me ask, from your perspective as a member here, if people want to, you know, pray for Trinity, you know, what are the things they should keep in mind as they're praying for Trinity and supporting Trinity?
pray for the mental health of the people that are staying here, because it's hard not to be able to go outside, to go anywhere, and to always be scared. Pray for the Christian asylum seekers that are in the asylum homes outside of a church, because they're threatened daily.
Mm-hmm.
And pray for the families that they're separated from. And maybe pray for the whole country and their attitude towards the whole asylum process, that we see that these people need help and that it's our duty to protect them from harm elsewhere. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much again, Sandra. I really appreciate it. And God be with you during your time here in Germany. And God continue to bless your work here at Trinity.
God bless your work.
Thank you again to all of you who are listening to the Lutheran Witness podcast. If you want to learn more about this story, please make sure you visit the website for Lutherans Engage the World. That will be engage.lcms.org, where you'll be able to see some wonderful photos, some videos, and read a fuller story about the work that's going on here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Steglitz. As always, we want to encourage you, if you're not a subscriber to the Lutheran Witness, you can become a subscriber by visiting cph.org/witness. You can subscribe to Lutheran Witness. And then, of course, continue to check out our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.